Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome back to For the Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com. My name is Adam, and it feels great to have football to react to. Week one's always interesting. The overreactions are massive. But can you blame us? We've been waiting for football for months. So it happens every season, but last night was very interesting. Today on the podcast, we will obviously recap the first game of the NFL season between the Ravens and Chiefs. Fun game, a ton of fantasy storylines, and a lot to break down and trying to decide whether we should overreact or not. Because I think no matter what happens, you have to react at some point in some capacity. But we see it every season, and it'll be very evident on Sunday and Monday too. Like, there's always massive overreactions to week one where when we look back, it's like, wow, were we really even considering this after week one? Like, so, but this game had a lot for sure. We'll break that down as we go into the weekend. Of course, the massive game-by-game in-depth preview for all the games for week one went live on Thursday, so I highly encourage you to check that out. Between that and all the rankings, tools, content, all that stuff at FTN Fantasy, you'll be set with either week one start sit questions, or if you're playing Daily Fantasy, like, you'll pretty much have everything covered. So check that out. Go to the site as well. Rankings are being updated every day. Myself, Jeff Ratcliffe, Scott Spratt, Mike Randall, Jeremy Popolars, Chris Meany. It's so awesome to have football on the television again. And of course, with football being on television again and back in our lives, Circa, once again sponsoring the podcast this season, the largest pro football contest in Vegas have returned. Circa Survivor and Circa Millions now up to a record $16 million in guaranteed prizes with two ways to win and absolutely zero rake. Circa Survivor contestants select one team each week with no point spread, last the longest to win it all with $10 million guaranteed. With Circa Millions, make five picks against the spread each week for your share of $6 million guaranteed through quarterly and full season payouts. Enter in Nevada or play from anywhere. Visit circasports.com for the details. Again, trying our best to not go crazy, but A, when you haven't had football in so long, it's hard. B, you have these two polarizing powerhouse teams with a lot of key fantasy players. Makes it even more difficult. But let's recap Thursday's game. Chiefs 27, Ravens 20. Could have been overtime or Chiefs could have won. Crazy game went down to the wire. Lamar Jackson just misses Zay Flowers wide open in the end zone, and then right after that, the final play of the game, the Isaiah Likely second touchdown was just not quite a touchdown. The toe still barely on the sideline, and thus the Ravens, who they did not look ready. They looked unbelievably out of sync. So the fact that they had a chance to win this game is kind of crazy. The storyline was the offensive line, too, with all these penalties. Ronnie Stanley, like, so many penalties, you know, before the snap of not being set in the right spot. A couple wide receivers got caught with it. Rashad Bateman. There were plays where missed assignments on blocks. Like, the Ravens looked really bad. I wouldn't say I've been, like, insanely high on Derrick Henry this offseason. I definitely like him, and he did score. But I think I overlooked how much of a concern this offensive line could be. And I know the Chiefs' D-line is good, and they have Chris Jones, who can just completely impact the game by himself, and they won't face defensive lines like this all year. But it wasn't good. So, yeah. Let's break it down with the Ravens here. Lamar Jackson, great fantasy game, 273 yards and a touchdown. 16 carries for 122 yards on the ground. And I talked about this in the game-by-game article. Not that I expected 120 rushing yards, but the Chiefs, they play man coverage at one of the highest rates in the NFL. And you saw a lot of that between Lamar having to escape because the offensive line wasn't doing its job, or the fact that when he did escape, the Chiefs were man coverage, everybody's back was turned, and he would get 15 yards pretty easily. Like, that happened a lot in this game. So the Chiefs, as good as their defense is, you'll be able to see production from quarterbacks rushing the football against them just based off the scheme that they play. But yeah, Lamar, like, the ADOT was insanely low. I think at one point it was like under 2 yards in this game. Then he did connect on some deep passes later on in the game to Likely, one to Rashad Bateman, which was really nice. But the game plan for the Ravens was clear that they did not have any faith in the offensive line. So that was, to me, like, that's one of the key talking points of this game, like how bad the Ravens offensive line looks. And, like, it's not, I'm not moving Lamar down, anything like that. Like, he still had an awesome fantasy game. But it really impacted what they could do. There wasn't a lot of vertical shots. Definitely saw that with Zay Flowers' usage, which, in terms of raw usage, was great, right? 10 targets, 2 carries. He had, like, 3 or 4 other targets that didn't count because they were wiped off due to penalties. One was a pass interference target. Like, he had, like, almost 15 total opportunities in this game, if you count the penalties. But it was a lot like last season. Manufactured screens, pre-snap motion, close to line of scrimmage. I mean, he had 6 catches, but 37 yards. So, I do think there's definitely going to be games, and I talked about this in the offseason with Zay Flowers, how he was really close to having a much better rookie season because he and Lamar Jackson just missed on a couple deep passes last season. Those will happen, right? But it was pretty clear that between, you know, whether it was rust or just not being ready, plus the advantage the Chiefs defensive line had in the offensive line, weren't able to really get Zay Flowers' usage down the field. But the overall involvement is great. We tend to see this going into year 2 for wide receivers, where there's just even more usage. 10 total targets. Like, he's still going to be, if I had to guess, especially since what we saw last year, Zay Flowers will probably finish this season top 5 among wide receivers in screen targets. And, like, that's great for PPR leagues, but if he can just get some more downfield usage, the offensive line can do its job just even adequately, then yeah, top 20 season is very likely for him. And a lot of the talking point with Zay Flowers, why a lot of people didn't like him going into the season, was, oh yeah, his splits with Mark Andrews on the field, and now Andrews is back. And, like, the talking point is the tight ends. We'll get to that in a second. But, you know, Andrews will be 29. Didn't look great. I think he was still not 100%. But if, for whatever reason, if this is actually more than, if this isn't an overreaction, and Andrews is starting to kind of fall off a little bit, then all of a sudden those splits for Zay Flowers with Andrews last year don't really mean anything because he is the focal point of the passing game alongside Isaiah Likely. So, yeah, like, better matchups ahead, but the usage is pretty encouraging. And I do think we'll see more of those downfield targets and better matchups in games where the Ravens offensive line just looks more prepared, quite honestly. So, yeah. Let's get to the tight ends, though. Isaiah Likely, he will be the obvious waiver wire ad of the week. And it's quite possible it's one of the top 5 waiver wire ads of the season, even though it's already so early. But 9 catches, over 100 yards, a touchdown, just missed a second touchdown late in the game, team-high 12 targets. Whereas Mark Andrews, 2 targets, 2 catches, 14 yards. Everyone is worried and freaking out about Mark Andrews, and I get it. Especially with it being an island game, the first game of the season, perennial top 3 tight end. We have to remember to react to week 1, but try not to overreact. We did hear a lot in the offseason about the Ravens wanting to utilize more 2 tight end sets and get Isaiah Likely and Andrews on the field. So, and we saw that, obviously. Likely last night played just under 70% of the snaps, I believe, which was just barely over what he played in the, I think, 5-6 games without Andrews from weeks 12 to 18 last season. Those games he played 66% of the snaps, and he ran around on like 75% of dropbacks. The usage was great last night, obviously. I think he ran around on about 70% of dropbacks last night. Andrews' route participation went down about 10% from what it was in 2023. But also, I think, like, I do think he was not fully healthy. Like, he had the car accident a couple weeks ago, and he looked slow. He didn't look explosive. He had that one catch where he just caught the ball and fell and could have had a first down. So, am I ready to say, yep, Isaiah Likely, the tight end to rank and start over Mark Andrews every single week? No. I think it's as simple as Andrews will have better days. Likely is clearly going to take some work away from him. But let me put it to you this way. There's also been a lot of hype, not a lot of hype, but a decent amount of hype about Rashad Bateman this offseason, about him finally having that breakout season, becoming the second wide receiver that the Ravens have been needing. If Rashad Bateman had the game that that Likely just had, and then Andrews still had the poor game he had, we wouldn't be freaking out about Mark Andrews, probably. We'd be upset, but we wouldn't be freaking out. The fact that it's a direct player at the same position that just completely outplayed him is why there's a lot of concern, and I get it. But it might just simply be Isaiah Likely is the clear second. He's clearly the player that's going to break out after Zay and Andrews. What if it's that simple? And this was also a weird game where the Ravens had a ton of snaps in the two-minute drill and the hurry-up. They obviously played, it was like the last 8 minutes of the game. They only had one timeout, trailing by 10-plus points. So they were playing more passing. It's a weird game. So yes, Isaiah Likely clearly is a huge part of this offense. Like, that's not debatable. Whether you are worried about Andrews or not, that's clearly a fact that Isaiah Likely is going to take a massive step forward in this offense this season. And as a result, yeah, you'll have some more disappointing games from Andrews probably, but it's not like he was getting taken off the field. So, like, if you had Andrews and Dalton Kincaid, really, or Kittle or someone, like, really close, and you couldn't decide all year long about who you would rather draft, and you saw this game and you want to put Kincaid ahead of him, fine, totally get it. But would any of us be surprised if he's close to 100% healthy next week against the Raiders, Mark Andrews goes out and has 8 for 85 in a touchdown? Of course not. And Likely has 3 for 36. No? So, Isaiah Likely is somebody you should probably spend, I don't know, if you desperately need a tight end, like 40-plus percent of your fab, I would say, at least. Like, it's not a fluke, because he's been a talented player. We've seen him produce in the past when Andrews has been out. But I'm a little worried about Andrews, don't get me wrong, but I'm not, like, going crazy saying, oh, Mark Andrews is my tight end, I better pick up Noah Fant or Kate Otten or somebody like that and play them next week. Like, no, I'm not there yet. But yeah, if you had Andrews ahead of Kincaid, Kittle, if you had him like tight end 2-3 ahead of McBride or whoever, yeah, clearly you might want to move, you know, from that stance. Let's also talk about Derrick Henry, who 13 carries, 46 yards, and a touchdown. First drive of the game, got the 5-yard touchdown. Didn't do anything in the passing game. And I see a lot of concern about Derrick Henry. I don't think this game should change how you felt about Henry going into the season. And I tweeted it, like, Derrick Henry, who has historically not played on long down and distances or the 2-minute drill, did not play in long down and distances or the 2-minute drill. I don't think there's much to see here. Like, as excited as we all were about him joining the Ravens and being in a better offense and being alongside Lamar, like, we didn't expect him to be the third down running back. Justice Hill played all of the third and longs, played all the 2-minute drill snaps yesterday. And, like, the Ravens had multiple 2-minute drills. Like, end of the first half, Mahomes throws a pick. Midfield, Justice Hill gets to go back in the game and play the end of the half. Okay. There was a lot of bad... I mentioned all of those offensive line penalties that made a lot of second and 15s, first and 20s. Okay, long down distance, Justice Hill tends to be in the game. Like, nothing's changed. This is the role Derrick Henry's always been in, and we always know he's better in games where the Ravens are playing with a lead. And guess what? You just played against the best team in the NFL, the Super Bowl champions, and you were down by 10 for a lot of the game. Welcome to having Derrick Henry on your fantasy team. Guess what? They play the Raiders next week. At home. I think it's at home. Actually, I don't even know. Either way, they're going to be 5 to 6 point favorites against the Raiders. And Derrick Henry's probably going to go back to having 18 to 22 carries and get all the goal line work. And that's not without saying, like, Justice Hill is somebody I would probably add in most leagues, especially if I have Henry. But, like, 8 targets, that's not happening again. A lot of it was because of the offensive line. So, yes, like, I have Henry in a league, I'm definitely going to add Justice Hill. I have a league where I don't have Henry, I did put a bid in for Justice Hill, especially in full PPR leagues. But I'm not moved by this game. What's more concerning to me for Derrick Henry is the offensive line. Because a lot of the appeal was going from Tennessee's awful offensive line last year to the Ravens, we thought would be a pretty decent upgrade. And I still think it probably is, but they looked rough last night. And also, Henry had 2 targets. One was batted down at the line of scrimmage that he could have had on a swing pass that could have gotten him some yards. And the other was kind of a weird miscommunication where, like, Henry kind of stopped on a swing route. Lamar kind of led him a little bit, and Henry didn't realize he was going to lead him, and it was incomplete. Like, if Henry catches those 2 passes and gets, you know, 15, 20 yards on those 2, we're still talking about Justice Hill's usage, but maybe we're not even freaking out as much. And I do think the Ravens need to do a better job of getting him the ball outside more. A lot of it was kind of up the middle. You know, it's interesting. Chris Collins, we're talking about it too. Like, Henry's always liked to run to the outside, and it's harder to do that when you're lining up out of the shotgun and the pistol as much as the Ravens do. So they have some things to work out, but I just don't get why, for a player that's always been somebody that has worse games when his team is trailing and does not play on third and longs and is not playing 2-minute drill, all of that stayed the same, and yet we're here freaking out. I don't get it. Obviously, he's not going to be nearly as good in PPR formats, but guess what? We already knew that coming into the game. So, would you like to see Derrick Henry get 3-4 catches and some screen targets? Sure, but I think one of them was a designed play for him, the one that was just a misthrow or a miscommunication. So, yeah, add Justice Hill, but I'm not freaking out about Henry. I'm more worried about Andrews and Henry, I will say that, but I'm not, like, the sky is falling on either player. All right, we have to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll break down the Chiefs side of things. Xavier Worthy, wasting no time in his NFL debut, is the hype for real? Talk about Rashee Rice. How high should he be ranked rest of the season? We'll break down the Kansas City Chiefs side of the Week 1 matchup when we come back. All right, Kansas City starts 1-0. Patrick Mahomes, 291 yards, one touchdown, one interception. He looked good. The interception was bad, but other than that, he looked like Patrick Mahomes. Also had some bad touchdown luck. Had a potential touchdown to Juju Smith-Schuster, which he looked like he had, and then he couldn't come down with it towards the end of the reception. Pacheco scores from like 2 yards out. Yeah, I mean, I don't think we have to say anything about Mahomes, other than the fact that you probably like him even more after seeing what the offense looked like. And oh, by the way, they'll add Hollywood Brown potentially as soon as next week. Isaiah Pacheco dominated the snaps, over 80%. Had 15 of the, 17 running back carries. Wasn't efficient, but he wasn't efficient against the Ravens last year either, but he scored. He got a lot of the snaps on third downs. Samaje Perine did take him off the field in a lot of the third and longs and two-minute drills. But there was clearly some rust there with him. Yeah, Pacheco, top 12 running back rest of the way. The receivers, though. Rashee Rice is probably going to end up being one of the best values in fantasy. Probably were able to get him in the fifth, sometimes sixth round of drafts. There was obviously some uncertainty going into the year, but it sounds like he's not going to be suspended, and it looks like he's going to be this team's clear focal point of the passing game, and that's including Travis Kelce. I actually believe that. 7 catches, 103 yards in this game. 9 targets easily led the team. Get 33% of the team's targets. I will say, at least I hope, or else the NFL is in trouble. He's not going to see as many snaps with a linebacker in coverage as he did on Thursday. That was insane. Just no shot. You'll be able to defend him. But he looked good. A lot of those slant routes where he looked really, really, the timing was great. He was good after the catch. He showcased some good speed. He looked great. So I kind of wish I had somebody on the pod with me to ask, but like, where would you rank Rashee Rice rest of the season? Top 15? Is that too high? Or is that about right? Because with the way that, like, it was right out of the gate too. Immediate first read targets, scheme touches. He's going to be really good. So I'm trying to think about some wide receivers like that went around, like went above him, but like, would you put him ahead of these guys now? Like Rashee Rice or the tier of like Jalen Waddle, Devonta Smith. Waddle, Smith, who else would be in that tier? It's definitely a conversation. Like the other side of this game are taking him over Zay Flowers, I would imagine. The Texans wide receiver is not named Nico Collins. You probably would have Rashee Rice. Yeah. If you had him top 15, I don't think it's crazy. Travis Kelce, meanwhile, a quiet game for him. 3 for 34 on 4 targets. First game of the season, so you expect these guys to play most of the snaps, and he played like 90% of them. Something to keep an eye on later in the season. Maybe they want to limit his snaps down the stretch, but it was pretty encouraging to see him get all that playing time. Better days obviously ahead from Kelce. I'm not worried. But Xavier Worthy, of course he scores a touchdown on his first career touch on a jet sweep where, first of all, the blocking was awesome. Creed Humphrey is amazing. And the speed was obviously pretty evident too. Then he scores a second touchdown later in the game. And this one, not really moved by. Like, it's great to see, obviously. You loved it if you started him, but just absolutely blown coverage. I think the Ravens were in cover one, and Marlon Humphrey either didn't care or didn't know, and literally just let Worthy walk right by him. It was a pre-snap motion play before it, so maybe there was just some overall miscommunication and confusion. But, yeah, obviously Worthy, he's going to have these games in this offense. He only had three targets. Like, Hollywood will be back. Kelsey will have more impact. Pacheco's still getting like 15 to 18 opportunities per game. I know it's tough because he's such an exciting player and we love the offense. I would at least entertain sell high offers if you can on Xavier Worthy after this game. Because it's not like the usage was amazing. Rashee Rice is clearly getting all of the targets at wide receiver. And not that it was fluky because he's so talented and he will have these games, but you know, a jet sweep on great blocking and then absolutely blown coverage for his two touchdowns, like, not sustainable. So I totally get it if you just have no interest in trading Xavier Worthy and that upside to somebody else. Totally get it, 100%. But me personally, I would at least entertain the idea of seeing what you can get for him after this game, especially after seeing, we know some stars are going to have quiet games in week one. Might be a good opportunity, but yeah, I think the obvious is that it might be game over for the NFL. This team has just won back-to-back Super Bowls without Tyreek Hill. Rashee Rice wasn't even a full-time player until like the second half of last season. And then you add Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown. That's why I picked them to three-peat. It's not easy, but like, giving Mahomes this talent. And it was also good to see Mahomes get back to completing and having more success on 20-plus yard passes. Last year was not the case. A lot better on Thursday. Other than that, though, I think that's about it. Like, the Chiefs are a lot easier than the Ravens. The Ravens are so interesting. Like, Lamar's going to be great. We know that. But everybody else is a massive talking point right now. Maybe Zay Flowers is fun. Like, I think Zay Flowers, I'm more encouraged by his usage. I think it was more of a game-specific thing of why the usage was so low upside. But also, if like, even if anybody is worried about Zay Flowers, like, if he gets that touchdown late in the game, all of a sudden he has 7 for like 45 in a touchdown. You still don't love the yards per target, ADOT, all that stuff, but I think those plays will happen. I think it was just a weird game for the Ravens offensive line, which is a concern. Do not get me wrong. That is a massive concern. But if they're trying to get the ball in his hands this much, and there's a possibility at least that Mark Andrews is falling off a little bit, yeah, I think Zay Flowers could easily be a top 20 wide receiver this season in fantasy football. But that'll do it. It's fun to recap football again. I love it. And we have more football today on Friday. Eagles, Green Bay in Brazil. Excited for the Devonta Smith season to start. You guys know I'm so high on him this year. Can't wait to watch that game. And can't wait for more football over the weekend. So hopefully week one get off to a great start for you and your fantasy teams. Of course, go to ftnfantasy.com. Check out all the content. Rankings being updated every day. The Advanced Stats Hub. The articles. Redraft, fantasy football, DFS, ton of great betting content, everything you could possibly think of. And oh, by the way, don't look now, but we'll have basketball starting up again soon. So great time to be a sports fan, great time to be over at ftnfantasy.com. Thanks for listening as always. It's been great to have a week one podcast. Go check out that game by game episode. It's live on the podcast feed. Subscribe, rate, review, all that great stuff wherever you find your podcasts. And best of luck in the rest of week one. Should be fun. I'm excited. It's awesome to be back. And I appreciate everybody listening as always. Have a good weekend. Have a great week one. My name is Adam. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. Peace out.